for a company that's going to abandon a well and...
We would not abandon it. We would plug it, plug the wells there.
Well, have you... That's why my question... This one has been released, and my information shows it has not been plugged and abandoned properly.
Right.
So that's... I would love it if you'd do what you just said.
No, it's a reasonable concern. Thank you.
I think we should give them the opportunity to come back and tell us what their plans are on that, and we would like to hear that because it is a concern. So.
Well, there's a motion on the floor, and I would suggest that I'll call the previous question on the motion.
All right. We have a motion and a second. We have a motion and a second. Any public comment? If not, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion carries.
Well, thank you guys for coming. We appreciate it.
Really appreciate
thank you
time.
For hearing us.
All right. Item 2. Thank you.
Item 2 is a request from 1776 Energy Operators, LLC, dated November the 20th, 2017, for a full or partial waiver regarding liquidated damages in the amount of $27,200 for the late release of Operating Agreement 287 and liquidated damages in the amount of $8,900 for the late release of Operating Agreement 288, both in Riverton Field, Caldwell Parish, Louisiana. Operating Agreement 287 expired on June the 30th, 2016. The operator could have recorded a release on or before September the 29th, 2016 without penalty. The said release was recorded on June the 29th, 2017, 272 days late, causing the late assessment of $27,200. Operating Agreement 288 expired on December the 30th, 2016. The operator could have recorded a release on or before March 31st, 2017 without penalty. The said release was recorded on June 29, 2017, 89 days late, causing a late release of $8,900. Even though staff had provided written and verbal notice to 1776 of the necessity of releasing operating agreements 287 and 288, as stated in 1776's November 20th, 2017 letter, 1776 did not execute the release because it was attempting to sell its interest in the Riverton Field, including its expired interest in those agreements. Accordingly, 1776 seemingly was utilizing the expired interest in operating agreements 287 and 288 to bolster its overall interest in the Riverton Field so as to make said interest more attractive to a potential purchaser. Based on the State Mineral and Energy Board protocol from the board resolution of May 13th, 2019, which we will check into, the board has, again, the same three sets of criteria to evaluate in assessing waivers for late release. Accordingly, a careful review by staff of this criteria has been considered as well. Under A, first infractions, a complete waiver of the entire assessment. These two requests for waivers are the first two such infractions by 1776. Accordingly, under the board's protocol, it could waive one of these late assessments if it so chooses. The second set would be the subsequent infractions, again, that we've discussed in item number one, the percentage of the total acres that was released late multiplied by the liquidated damage amount or the original lease bonus amount, whichever is less, to reduce further. The amount of released acreage is 100% of the original acres, therefore the criteria does not apply. The operating agreement this operating agreement did not have an original lease bonus consideration, so that does not apply as well. And then the third set would be the board may consider waiving the entirety or a portion of the liquidated damage assessment, or the board may determine that no reduction of the assessment is warranted. There, depending on which infraction you're looking at, there were no infractions or the first infraction. The number of days late before the recorded release was put in record was 272 days for operating agreement 287 and 89 days for operating agreement 288. There was no significant leasing activity that took place during this time. The severity of the conditions of the request, October 20th, 2016, OMR staff sent a letter to 1776 Energy requesting that they record a release of operating agreement 288. November 10th, 2016, email from 1776 noting that their engineer does not want to release acreage and asked if they can pay a shut-in payment. Early December 2016, emails and phone calls about the ability to file a force majeure, nothing materialized on their end. January 6, 2017, 1776 Energy emailed OMR stating that if they move forward with a release, how long and complicated is it because someone was interested in acquiring their field. January 9, 2017, OMR emailed 1776 stating a recorded release was needed on operating agreement 287. April 19, 2017, OMR staff sent a letter to 1776 Energy requesting they record a release of 287. April 24, 2017, OMR sent a release form to 1776 as a go-by to prepare the release of operating agreement 288. November 21, 2017, received letters from 1776 requesting a waiver of liquidated damages, noting that they did not release the acreage due to ongoing negotiations to sell their assets in the field. These negotiations did not materialize, and 1776 Energy promptly released the acreage. Even though staff had provided written and verbal notice to 1776 of the necessity of releasing operating agreements 287 and 288, 1776 did not execute the releases because it was attempting to sell its interest in the field, including its expired interest in these agreements. Because companies should not be rewarded for holding and utilizing expired and terminated assets solely to its own interest and to the direct detriment of the state, the staff does not recommend a waiver of the $27,200 and $8,900 assessments pursuant to the conditions set forth above in C4 of the board's protocol.
All right. Any questions or comments?
Motion.
Motion by Mr. Hike.
Like the staff recommendation.
I'll what? Second staff recommendation.
What was your motion?
I shouldn't say that. I'll make a motion to accept the staff recommendation.
All right. Motion by Mr. Hankins.
But I want to ask. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'll second the motion.
Accept the staff recommendation. Second by Mr. Arnold.
But I want to ask Mr. Fontenot a question. What was the subject of the request for force majeure? Do you have any idea?
There was
extend. To extend?
I'm just curious.
No, they had problems in the field. It was either downhole operations or
in the area they had some flooding.
Yes,
and we gave them a choice if they could give us information on that. There would be a possibility of filing force majeure.
I'm just wondering how far the force majeure request really goes in certain circumstances. I mean, apparently they were trying to use this issue of force majeure to skate. So so to speak.
Well, as we do with all companies that ask about it or have extenuating circumstances, we do let them know that that is available, and that's what we did with TPIC.
Did they end up selling their interests?
76, so.
Did they end up selling their interests?
Not on this. This particular one fell through.
All right. Okay. Any other questions or discussion? We have a motion and a second. Any public comment? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed signify by saying nay. Motion carries. Item 3.
It's a request by Midnight Energy, Inc. on behalf of Hillcore Energy 1 LP to extend the primary term of state lease, state lease 21553 for an additional 2 years and waive the 90-day request period pursuant to the February 10, 2010 board resolution as amended on November 9, 2011. State lease number 21553 contained 1 acre and was awarded to Hillcore on February the 11th, 2015 for a primary term of 3 years with a bonus of $251 per acre and a 25% royalty. Hillcore was unable to drill a potential prospect which may have covered the state lease or a portion thereof. The board resolution dated February the 10th, 2010, as amended, states that the Louisiana State Mineral and Energy Board adopt a policy that any request for an extension of the primary term of a lease be made at least 90 days from the date of the board meeting on which such request will be acted on, it being within the board's discretion to act on requests outside of the policy on a case-by-case basis. Staff is recommending that the state mineral that state lease number 21121553 be extended an additional 2 years, making the new expiration date February the 11th, 2020. Also, staff is recommending that the required 90-day period requirement in the aforementioned resolution be waived. The terms of the extension would be a one-time payment of $502 or the full bonus of $251 for each year and a 25.5% royalty effective upon board's approval.
All right. We have a recommendation by the staff. Do we have any discussion or questions or a motion?
I make a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
Move. I second that.
I have a motion by Mr. Arnold, second by Ms. LeBlanc. Any public comment? If not, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed signify by saying nay. Motion carries. Item 4.
It's a request for approval and for authorization of Secretary Thomas F. Harris to sign a replacement agreement between the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, the Department of Natural Resources, Office of Mineral Resources, and the State Mineral and Energy Board, authorizing and tasking the State Mineral and Energy Board and the Department of Natural Resources and the Office of Mineral Resources to administer and manage mineral resources on state-owned properties under the administration of and properties owned by or under the jurisdiction of the Louisiana Wildlife and Fisheries Commission or the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. This will clarify the mutual obligations between the two agencies and replace the existing agreement which has been in place since December 18, 2009. Staff recommends approval of the aforementioned request.
Mr. Chairman, if
yes, Mr. Secretary.
Back in 2009, there was an agreement signed between the two agencies to manage and administer mineral resources on lands owned by wildlife and fisheries and also wildlife management areas for which wildlife and fishery gets, by law, the mineral revenue. The problem I had with that agreement is it had no provisions for cost recovery, for paying us for the time and hours managing their properties. Subsequent to that, however, there were agreements between then DNR Secretary Scott Angel and Robert Barham to pay a set amount, and the amount varied over the years, but between $150,000 and $300,000 typically, that they would provide to the department to do their work for them. That that was never put in writing, however. Subsequent to that, Steve Schutz and Robert Barham reached a similar agreement. When I came in 2016, Charlie Melançon was the Secretary of Wildlife and Fisheries. His position was this was our job and they shouldn't have to pay us anything. My position was the services we provided to wildlife and fisheries were worth quite a bit more, and our cost of providing those services was quite a bit more. We were in an impasse for a while. Finally, this time last year, December 2016, Charlie and I made a verbal agreement to continue the previous agreements. And we also said it would be good to put this in writing so we wouldn't have to keep doing this. Before we were able to commit anything to writing, a couple of weeks later, Charlie Melançon was replaced by Jack Monasay, who came in with the same position that he shouldn't have to pay us anything. We had negotiations that went on, and ultimately the agreement was reached to provide we would continue to provide the service, and we agreed upon an accelerated schedule from between $500,000 to $800,000 per year, depending on the amount of revenue generated for wildlife and fisheries. What I'm asking for is the authority of this board to sign on behalf of both the department and the Mineral and Energy Board. To note that the copy that was provided to you has one error we've identified. We had agreed on a five-year term. The interagency agreement says that it will end in 2020, which is only 3 years. We're going to try to get that correction made. Jack's already signed on behalf of the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries.
Mr. Secretary, they've all signed off on this and all in agreement. Is that what you're saying? They've signed off on it, or they will sign off on it?
Blake, I believe Jack Secretary Monasay has already signed on behalf of Department of Wildlife.
Correct. So the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries has signed off on the agreement. The only thing we just mentioned, the error, would have to be corrected by amendment, so they'd have to sign off on that. But verbally, they're okay with the change.
I so move.
Mr. Secretary, is that money subject to a legislative whim, or is that something that you can maintain within your department?
It's handled what's called an interagency transfer, an IAT. It is, I believe, a contract, a legally binding agreement. Certainly the legislature could decide to sweep whatever
funds
we put it into.
Getting at.
But, you know, that's always the case, whether or not we enter into this agreement.
And so the way that it's written in the agreement is that it's subject to appropriation by the legislature. So essentially, if the legislature didn't give Wildlife and Fisheries enough money to fulfill it, then that would be that's included in the agreement. Why it's required to be included in the agreement, that if the legislature doesn't appropriate it, that they don't have to pay. But it's hard to imagine that scenario occurring, simply because the money that we're talking about is coming from production that's, I think, constitutionally provided to be put into wildlife and fisheries funds.
Mm-hmm. All right. We have a motion and a second. Any other questions or discussion?
Was there a motion?
I thought there was, wasn't there? There was not? Okay.
I'll move.
So I have a motion by Ms. I'm sorry, Ms. LeBlanc made a motion. Second by Mr. Height. Any public comment? If not, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed signify by saying nay. Motion carries. Item 5.
Staff update and report on plugged and abandoned wells in according with their request. from the board at the November 8, 2017 State Mineral and Energy Board meeting. Staff will present an update regarding the transmittal of a letter to lessees noting Article 12 of the State Mineral lease form in terms of plugging and abandoning wells. Excuse me. Staff will also provide a report on abandoned wells that have not been plugged in accordance with the lease requirements due to a second request from the board at the November State Mineral and Energy Board meeting to know the liability involved with these non-plugged and abandoned wells.
For the record, Board Hanley, we went back and looked at all the releases in 2017 and looking at those leases and to see how many wells were still open or not P&A'd in those leases. We came up with 56 out of about 250 leases that still had wells that needed to be P'd and A'd. Off those 56 leases, they covered lease agreements that did not have any wording in it for P&A of the wells, which is the earlier leases, leases from 340 up to 14,000. So there's no contractual obligation to plug those leased wells, and they fall under the guidance of conservation. The other ones, which about half of them had lease language where the wells had to be P'd and A'd in a timely fashion, and then had some additional language noting that if they were not P'd and A'd within a year, then the salvage value for those companies, they could not take the salvage value from that. What we've done, we've sent the letter out to Energy 21 for their P&A wells. We will be sending out a number of other letters noting that all these wells have to be P'd and A'd in a timely fashion. So we'll be taking that into effect. I've also looked at there was also a question on the orphan well status on state acreage. I've put in your folder a map of the state of Louisiana with all the orphan wells per parish. There's total, based on the conservation numbers from last week, a little over 4,000 wells that are orphaned in the state. In the past 2 years, due to bankruptcies, those numbers have increased. This year we've got 659 so far. I've also noted out of those 4,000 orphan wells, 243 are on state on water bottoms or acreage, just to give you an idea of that based on the parishes as noted there. That's what I've come up with. If you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer them for you.
Assistant Secretary.
I just want to make a small correction. Mr. Hanley said that the old releases, they don't have a P&A obligation, contractor obligation in them. I think those old releases don't specifically mention P&A, but there is a baseline remediation obligation in those leases, and P&A responsibilities would fall under that general obligation.
Basically, that was my question to someone, and that is this: even though they might not be contractually obligated, there must be some kind of statutory obligation. Correct? Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a regulation that covers it. I'm not sure if there's an implied obligation through the mineral code in that situation between the lessee and the lessor. But like I said, I believe that the general remediation obligation that's contained in that lease would require P&A if it hadn't been done yet.
So, Jamie, you're saying you believe there is a contractual obligation?
Not contractual.
Yes.
Contractual?
Yes.
And possibly statutory?
Well, there's definitely a regulatory obligation, which I suppose you could say is statutory.
To what authority do we have to?
Yes, even if it's not in the lease, there's a regulatory obligation that they owe to the state through conservation enforces that. But as far as as far as OMR having a contractual right to enforce it, you know, we don't enforce it through the regulatory provisions. We would enforce it through either a specific mention of a P&A obligation like the later leases have, or we would enforce it through the general mediation obligation that's contained in the older leases. So.
Does the department or OMR have any has any responsibility to act?
Well, I mean, historically, that's not been a function of this office. This office has relied on conservation to enforce the regulatory obligations on these lessees or these operators. It would take either additional funding or kind of a reorganization for our office to kind of take that on as a main responsibility. Like Mr. Hanley said, we, in response to what Mr. Holland said has requested, we have begun to send letters to these different operators notifying them of their obligation and telling them that we expect their execution of their obligation to P&A these wells. Short of sending those letters, in order for our office to enforce that, just like every private landowner has to do in a contract, we would have to push litigation, hire attorneys, and that takes quite a bit of funding that the office, I'm not quite sure, is prepared for right now. So we rely on conservation to pursue much of this.
If I may, also my recommendation, instead of trying to, particularly given our at this time our very limited resources, instead of trying to duplicate work that's being done by the Office of Conservation, in representing the state's best interest, I think we should be a squeaky wheel when it comes to conservation, bug them on the record to ask or order the operator to do what's required. Doing so does not in any way lessen our opportunity and right as a property owner and lessor to pursue legal action to enforce the terms of the contract. In fact, I think going through giving conservation the opportunity to require that first, if anything, strengthens our legal position.
Yeah, I think, too, there's almost a bootstrapping component to that provision in the lease that it may be, I don't want to say that it's superfluous, but it's certainly additional language that we may not even be able to enforce in the first instance because of the constitutional and statutory primary jurisdiction of conservation anyway. I think we take a back seat, even with the contract, we take a back seat to that jurisdiction. So, I don't know that that's something we want to tinker around with. It doesn't, we can't leapfrog conservation is what I'm saying.
Do we need a resolution requesting the conservation act on this? How do we request them to do that?
I logistically, I'm trying to think of what a resolution would ask. I mean, I think this needs to be on a lease by lease basis. And what I've discussed with the assistant secretary is just as a matter of course, as a matter of procedure, when we reach this point, that we send a memo from the Assistant Secretary of the Office of Mineral Resources to the Commissioner of Conservation requesting action on these particular sites. And certainly that's something we can initiate and track a whole lot easier than trying to replace and duplicate what conservation does in the absence of any statutory authority to do so.
All right.
I think that was informational purposes.
Right.
That excuse me, that would complete the legal entitle.
Right, so we'll move on to docket.
Under Category A, state agency leases, there are no items to report. Category B, state lease transfers, we're requesting that the board approve items 1 through 9. Category C, Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, state agency lease transfers, we request item number 1 be approved. And under Category D, advertised proposals, there are no items under that category. That completes the report.
I have one question. On B, state lease transfers, it's 1 through 8 or 1 through 9?
1 through 9.
I have 8. I don't have number 9.
All right.
It looks like we're missing page 5.
Yeah.
Just read it into the record, so we'll have it to approve it. Number 9. What? Just read number 9 to the record, so because it's not on ours. It's on your book as well.
That's the assignments and Samson Exploration. Item number 1, would you like me to read into it? Item number 9 under Category B, state transfers, an assignment from Samson Exploration LLC to Hillcore Energy Development LP of all of Asinora's rights, title, and interest in interstate lease number 11859, Jefferson Parish and Vermilion Parish is Louisiana, with further particulars being stipulated in the instrument. Hillcore Energy Development LP is designated as a joint account lessee. Contact company pursuant to the State Mineral and Energy Board resolution dated September the 10th, 1975. And again, staff recommends approval.
Make a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
Mr. Arnold makes a motion to approve staff's recommendation on the docket report, second by Ms. LeBlanc. Any other questions or discussion? Any public comment? If not, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed signify by saying nay. Motion carries. Thank you. The next items of the docket, executive session items.
Yes, sir. There are 3 under Category 6, A, B, and C. A is a status update regarding settlement of outstanding audit issues with Chevron Texaco, Texaco E&P Inc., and Unical. B is a discussion of the settlement offer by Timelot Ayers related to Scott Bay, 17 MKR, 5 Zone, 5A-7, RA, State Lease 20974, and C would be the technical briefing on bids.
Great. I would need a motion to go into the executive session. Do I have a motion? Moved by Ms. LeBlanc, second by Ms. Michaud Dugas. Any public comment? If not, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All against, signify by saying nay. Motion carries. We're in executive session. We'll be back shortly.
That's why my lights got shut off.
Thanks, Emil.
Yeah, you're a dick.
Thanks, Rochelle.
Hey, you all have that.
First one I've ever done.
Slid from the floor.
Yeah, you got a man, so where the heck are you going to send the money?
So you want a cheat sheet on it?
No, I don't have it. I'd have to go.
I can't pay attention.
Anyway, I've driven my pickup truck until the wheels are about.
They're everywhere.
It used to be in a different.
He's on what? He's on $1,000 truck?
Yes.
I was like, oh, that's the one I want. That's why I get confused.
Make them up. I'd like to make a motion to come out of executive session.
We have a motion by Mr. Arnold to come out of executive session, second by Ms. LeBlanc. All in favor, signify by saying aye. All opposed, signify by saying nay. We are back in regular session, or from the executive session and back in the regular session.
Mr. Chairman, Ryan Seidman with the Attorney General's Office. The two matters in executive session, we just wanted to cover those first. Item A, the status update is just a status update, so no action is required. Item B, our office had asked for authority from the board to enter into negotiations with the Timelot heirs regarding the Scott Bay production. And that's about it, just looking for authority to have those negotiations.
All right. We have a request by Mr. Seidelman to start some negotiations relative to item B on the executive session. So do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Secretary Harris, second by Mr. Watkins. Any public comment? If not, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion carries.
Thank you.
All right.
Jason, your turn.
Yes, sir. Jason Talbot representing the OMR staff for track bid recommendation. Today we had five tracks with five bids, and there are two bids that we're going to discuss in more detail. The first bid being track 44804, bid by Hillcorp Energy. The staff is recommending rejecting that bid for insufficient consideration. That bid will be automatically re-advertised with minimums. Our second track would be track 44808, a bid by Lola LLC, and the staff rejecting due to improper bid form. That will be open to the floor for bidding. All other bids today are acceptable.
All right. Do you have a motion to accept those acceptable bids and that?
So moved.
And rejections? Moved by Mr. Arnold, second by Ms. LeBlanc. Any questions or discussion? Any public comment? If not, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion carries. They're accepted. And at this time,
we will entertain anyone that's interested. As we said before, track 44808 was rejected, and it's possible to bid from the floor to rebid for 44808.
Yes, sir.
So first, I think I have to entertain a motion to accept the bidding on track 44808.
I make a motion to open the floor to bids on track number 44808.
All right, we have a motion. Do you have a second? Motion by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Hollinshead. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion carries. Okay, the floor is now open for bidding on track number 44808. Is there anyone interested to bid?
Yes, sir.
On that track. Please state your name for the record.
I am Corey Wainwright, representing Lola LLC.
Okay. And what are you bidding on?
Place a bid on track number 44808, being a portion of the track. 14 acres, that is. The bidder being Lola LLC.
And that bonus amount?
The primary term being 3 years, bonus amounts being $3,080, amount per acre being $220, the annual rental of $1,540. Royalties of 21% on oil, 21% on gas, and 21% on other liquid or gaseous minerals.
All right. Are there any other bids on track 44808? Second call for bids on track 44808. A third call for any bids on track 44808. If there's no other bids, the bidding is closed on track 44808. Is the bid that was bid from the floor an acceptable bid?
Yes, it is.
Okay. If the bid is acceptable, then we'll entertain a motion to award that lease. Moved by Ms. LeBlanc, second by Mr. Watkins. Any questions or discussion or public comment? If not, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion carries. You're awarded.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Any new business? Any announcements?
If I may, Chairman, I just want to remind all board members that it is a requirement to complete both ethics in state government and sexual harassment training. Besides being an annual requirement, the governor has expressed his personal interest in ensuring that all the appointees training before December 31st.
Right.
Mr. Secretary, is it true that anyone over 70 does not have to take the sexual harassment test? Isn't that correct?
that may be...
They should. They should.
I think that's just a bar requirement.
And it's not... The website is not so doesn't function so easily. I tried to do it last night and it locked up on me.
And I do have actually.
It refused me, but it was not a harassment issue.
I don't believe that, Mr. Chairman. I've been knowing you too long.
I do have instructions on how to navigate through it.
Okay. Did that include cussing at your computer or the government? All right. Well, great. Do we have a
announcement? Okay. So the total amount of lease bonuses for today's sale is $63,258.78. And the total amount for the fiscal year to date is $2,411,524.58.
Great. If there's no further business, I'd like to adjourn and say entertain a motion to adjourn, but I'd like to wish everybody a happy holidays and a new year, and thank you very much.
I move to adjourn.
Moved by Mr. Arnold, second by
Ms. LeBlanc. All in favor, signify by saying aye. All opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion carries. We're adjourned. Thank you. Have a great New Year.